My dearly beloved in Christ, we would like to continue this morning the catechism lessons, continuing with the third commandment of God, remember thou keep holy the Lord's Day. What is the third commandment of God? The third commandment of God is remember thou keep holy the Lord's Day. Why does the church command us to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day? You know that in the Old Testament the Jews kept Saturday as the Sabbath day, the day on which they refrained from servile work, the day on which they rested and gave special worship to God. And the reason why was because they were commanded by God to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. So why in the New Testament do we observe Sunday? The church commands us to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day because on Sunday Christ rose from the dead, and on Sunday the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles. We know also that the New Testament, or the New Covenant, replaced the Old Law. And the Old Law ceased to exist at the time of the death of Christ as far as a binding force. We also know that Sunday has been observed as the Lord's Day from apostolic times. As a matter of fact, we read in the Acts of the Apostles that the early Christians gathered together on the first day of the week, on Sunday. What are we commanded in the third commandment? By the third commandment, we are commanded to worship God in a special way on Sunday, the Lord's Day. That is how we fulfill the third commandment, by giving God special worship on Sunday. Now, the church commands us to worship God on Sunday in a special way by attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What is forbidden in the third commandment? By the third commandment of God, all unnecessary servile work on Sunday is forbidden. That would, of course, also include holy days of obligation. What do we mean by servile work? Servile work is work of the body, or labor of the body rather than of the mind. Liberal works, such as reading, writing, typing, playing a musical instrument, would not be considered servile work and would be permitted on Sunday. Also, those works which are common to all classes of persons, such as making a journey, playing games, driving an automobile. These things are permitted on Sunday. Servile work is called servile because it is the type of work that was formerly performed only by slaves or servants. And this is the work that is forbidden on Sunday. Almighty God commands us to rest one day a week because physically we need it. And so Sunday is not only the day for worship of Almighty God, but it is a day on which Almighty God gives us an opportunity to rest and recuperate our strength. Are we forbidden to seek pleasure and enjoyment on Sunday? We are not forbidden to seek pleasure and enjoyment on Sunday, provided it is lawful and moderate and does not interfere with our attendance at Mass. And when is servile work permitted on Sunday? Servile work is permitted on Sunday when the honor of God, our own need, or that of our neighbor requires it. Now you have certain individuals who must work on Sunday. For instance, doctors and nurses, people get in accidents, people need to go to the hospital on Sundays like other days. So quite obviously that is a necessary work and would not be forbidden. Talking about necessary works on Sunday, we should also reflect upon the reasons which would excuse attendance for Mass on Sunday. Any urgent reason, would excuse one from the obligation of attending Mass on Sunday, such as serious sickness. Someone has no means of getting to Mass, no transportation. Person goes out in the morning and gets into the car and cannot get the car started. There's no one else that can take you to Mass on Sunday. There would be reasons which would excuse, but we should keep in mind that no slight reason should excuse one from attendance at Mass on Sunday. Where there is a doubt, what would excuse one from attendance at Mass on Sunday? And where there is a doubt on what work would be permitted or not permitted on Sunday, a priest should be consulted in the confessional. We must, on the one hand, not go to the extent of the Pharisees who found fault with our Divine Lord for working miracles on Sunday. Or rather on Saturday, the Sabbath, if you can imagine. Such hypocrisy, such servile using that word, slavish attachment to the letter of the law. Again, finding fault with our divine Lord for working a miracle on the Sabbath is certainly not in keeping with the spirit of the law, which is above all what is important here. And so, while on the one hand on Sundays we don't go to that extreme, on the other hand, we should not go to the opposite extreme and become lax and careless on Sunday. You should not wash the car on Sunday, rake the lawn, mow the lawn, do laundry. These things should not be done on Sunday. You should look ahead before Sunday to see what needs to be done and then do it ahead of time. Now, certainly on Sunday, there are necessary things, cooking the meals, doing the dishes. Nothing wrong with that on Sunday. But work which could be done on another day of the week must be done on Saturday or on another day. And one more question in the catechism we should cover, and that is that also on Sunday there is forbidden, in addition to servile work, public buying and selling, markets and fairs, and also the conducting of court are forbidden on Sunday. Buying and selling. We should not go to stores. We should, again, look ahead on Saturday what you're going to need and then obtain it ahead of time so that there is also no buying and selling on Sunday. Now, with regards to the third commandment of God, the proper observance of Sunday, I would like to reflect with you on two other points that have been brought up in the past. And the first of them has to do with proper attire for the church and especially for Sunday, the Lord's Day. Whenever we go to church, whenever we go into the house of God, we should be fittingly attired because we're going to go into His house. And so the attire that we wear should be something special, not just ordinary clothing. But especially when you go to Mass on Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day, and there was in Catholic societies a term, which I'm sure you've heard, one's Sunday best. In other words, all Catholics had a set of clothing that was used only for Sunday. It was the best clothing they had, and so they called it their Sunday best. Things have gotten to such a point in our country and in our modern society, so earnest in seeking for pleasure and relaxation, that those who call themselves Catholic today, who are unfortunately deceived by this new religion of Vatican II, most of the time go to Sunday in casual dress. Very often you'll find nowadays that various Protestant religions outdo the Catholics in how they dress on Sunday. And it is a tragedy to go by these formerly Catholic churches to see these parishioners come out of the church on Sunday as though they were on a vacation or ready for the golf course or for the beach, wearing completely casual clothing. And yet how ironic that those same individuals, if they were without work and were going to have a job interview for work, would be dressed as best as possible. Or if they're going to go to a social function, would be all dressed up. And yet they give God the worst rather than the best. And again, it's very sad. So we as Catholics who understand the importance of giving God our best should dress on Sunday in such a way that we show God, we realize we owe Him the best. So our Sunday best, proper attire on Sunday. And another area that I think this is a proper point, a proper time to cover it, has to do with thanksgiving after Mass. Well, people will often ask, why do we make a thanksgiving? People will say, well, I can remember back even before Vatican II, we didn't make a thanksgiving after Mass. When Mass was over and the priest left the sanctuary, that was it, and everybody left the church. This is why we make a thanksgiving. This is the encyclical of Pope Pius XII on the sacred liturgy, Mediator Dei. And he goes on at some length explaining the importance of a thanksgiving. When the Mass, which is subject to special rules of the liturgy, is over, the person who has received Holy Communion is not thereby freed from his duty of thanksgiving. Rather, it is most becoming that when the Mass is finished, the person who has received the Eucharist should recollect himself and in intimate union with the Divine Master hold loving and fruitful converse with him. Hence they have departed from the straight way of truth, who adhering to the letter rather than the sense, assert and teach that when Mass is ended, no such thanksgiving should be added. On the contrary, the very nature of the sacrament demands that its reception should produce rich fruits of Christian sanctity. Admittedly, the congregation has been officially dismissed, but each individual, since he is united with Christ, should not interrupt the hymn of praise in his own soul, always returning thanks for all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. The sacred liturgy of the Mass also exhorts us to do this when it bids us pray in these words, "Grant, we beseech thee, that we may always continue to offer thanks," and again, "and may never cease from praising thee." Wherefore, if there is no time when we must not offer God thanks, and if we must never cease from praising him, who would dare to reprehend or find fault with the Church because she advises her priests and faithful to converse with the Divine Redeemer for at least a short while after Holy Communion, and inserts in her liturgical books fitting prayers enriched with indulgences by which the sacred ministers may make suitable preparation before Mass and Holy Communion, or may return thanks afterwards. This continues on, and I don't think it is necessary to read the remainder. You could refer to it yourself, paragraphs 123 to 127, in which again Pope Pius XII goes on at length to point out the obligation for those who have received Holy Communion to give proper thanksgiving. The imitation of Christ says the best preparation for Holy Communion is a good thanksgiving after your previous communion. A good thanksgiving after today's communion is your best preparation for your next Holy Communion. And theologians teach that our Divine Lord, the physical presence of the Blessed Sacrament, is with us for approximately a quarter of an hour. Maybe a little more, a little less, but approximately a quarter of an hour. And we know that until recently, until this century, until the time of Pope St. Pius X, most people did not receive communion on Sunday or on any given day. Communion was rare. And so therefore it was not common to make a thanksgiving, and those individuals were expected on their own to remain afterwards and give proper thanksgiving to our Lord. Now, since the time of Pope Pius X especially, when most people, fortunately, most people receive Holy Communion on Sunday and even weekdays, it is fitting and proper that we spend at least some time in thanksgiving. I will never forget how scandalized I was at the time. There was a priest, an elderly priest, whose parish was real right close to a state park, a very popular state park. And it was towards the end of the school year, or else summertime, when we were asked for volunteers. The seminarians were asked to go and stay with this priest for a weekend and help him do things that he couldn't do, paint the house, mow the lawn, and clean up around his rectory, etc. And so several of us seminarians went there one weekend, and this was towards the latter 60s, and the Mass was in the process of being changed. There was no longer a last gospel at the end of Mass, and all of these vacationers, Catholics from other parts of the state, were attending his Mass that Sunday. And I'll never forget that as soon as he gave his blessing, he hadn't even come down from the altar or left the sanctuary, there was a charge for the door. People elbowing and pushing their way, trying to get out of the church as fast as they could. And how tragic that was. And is it any wonder that those same souls lost their faith with Vatican II? And I fear that we are heading in the same direction. As soon as the priest is out of the sanctuary, how many people rush for the door? Get out as soon as they can, and then what do they do when they're out of the church? Just stand outside the church and talk. It's not like they have to get home, they have an appointment, or there's a reason they have to leave. And if we can't give our Divine Lord a few more minutes of thanksgiving, how longer is he going to give us his grace? And I believe it is also very impolite and inconsiderate for those who do leave to stand outside the church and talk while others are in church trying to pray, or go down into the basement and be talking and making noise, which makes it very distracted in the church. So we will continue as we have done to provide a thanksgiving. We're not going to hog tie you. We're not going to make you stay. But we are going to encourage and continue to encourage those who have received Holy Communion to remain on and give our Lord proper thanksgiving for just 5 or 10 more minutes after Mass is over. You have some of those who say, well, I have to leave as soon as Mass is over. Well, I'm sure that if I gave a much longer sermon, and you must admit, Mass here does not take that long, and the sermons are not that long. And if I gave a much longer sermon, another 15 minutes, they would stay till Mass is over then, so what's the difference? They would stay another 15 minutes anyway. And you have a short Mass like we did last Sunday, and as soon as Mass is over, they still have to leave right away, which indicates a lack of love for our Lord, a lack of appreciation for Holy Communion, and a lack of the spirit of prayer, a lack of the ability to remain in silence and make proper thanksgiving. Now, of course, we all have distractions, but if you have a difficult time making thanksgiving, use your missal. Every missal has prayers of thanksgiving that are inserted there, richly indulgenced, written for the most part by saints, to help us make a good thanksgiving. The book, The Blessed Eucharist, gives a story, an example of a man who always left church almost right after receiving Holy Communion. And the priest one day gathered the altar boys together and he said, I want you to take a candle and you take a bell. And he told these two altar boys, go after that man when he leaves the church. One of them carry a candle by him and the other ring the bell. Well, of course, this man was very embarrassed and asked them, what are you doing? And they said, well, the priest told us to honor the presence of the Blessed Sacrament which is in you, since you are not honoring that presence yourself by remaining for proper thanksgiving. So remember this. Again, those who don't receive Holy Communion, there's no reason why they have to stay. But if anyone is leaving, has a good reason for leaving, they should not disturb those who still remain in the church by going right outside and just talking. Again, it's inconsiderate. And we would ask the parents especially to reflect upon your obligation of giving your children a good example. What I have just said to you is what the children are taught in school and what they do in school. Because in school they all remain for Thanksgiving after Mass, as is proper. And if you are so desirous of getting out of the church as soon as you can, what kind of an example are you giving your children? So reflect upon these things, and especially on Sunday, remember that Sunday belongs to our Divine Lord. You remember in reading the book of St. John Vianney how his Mass lasted for 3 hours every Sunday. Not only an hour sermon, but a procession before Mass every Sunday. And St. John Vianney, when he first went to the village of Ars, had to continue to speak out against working on Sunday. It was a real vice among the people at that time. And one day St. John Marie Vianney was walking along the country roads at the outskirts of his parish praying his rosary Sunday afternoon, and here was a man working in his field. And he saw St. John Marie Vianney from a distance coming, and he jumped behind his cart. He thought he would hide. He hoped that St. John Vianney did not see him. And the Curia of Ars came up, walked right up to the cart, and called him to come out from behind the cart. And he said, you're afraid because I see you. Should you not be afraid of the good God? He sees you at all times. And Sunday is his day. You're robbing him of what belongs to him by working on Sunday. So let us remember to give Sunday to God. Not only to attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass and then be done with our Divine Lord, but remember the whole day belongs to him. There is nothing wrong with wholesome recreation and amusement as long as it doesn't become the predominant factor of your Sunday. Sunday is a day of rest. Sunday is a day of special worship of Almighty God. It is a day to be together as a family and to refrain from all unnecessary servile work, because that is the commandment of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.